Our gospel comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." We give thanks to God for his word. I invite you to be seated. As we transition to the message time, I invite you to open your bulletins and pull out the yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a two-way communication tool. I'm actually going to ask everybody to do something special with this at the end, so get them ready if you don't. But the purpose is to have a two-way communication where you can jot down scriptures and ideas and then to share with us how God is leading you to take next steps so we can pray for you and support you. As you get those ready, I invite you to join me in prayer. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Well, this week, we've had all kinds of fun visitors. Earlier in the week, a man by the name of Jim stopped by for a visit with his wife, Maureen. And it turns out Jim was one of the very first members of Good Shepherd, and he helped build the very first building that Good Shepherd worshipped in. And actually, Jim is here. Do you want to wave? So Jim's here with us, yeah. Here's a picture of the building from 1979. Jim and Maureen now live in Florida, but they like to come back and visit time and time again. And while that building is no longer in existence, the Good Shepherd faith community is still very much alive and active. And with anticipation over a new senior pastor, Good Shepherd's at the edge of a new chapter of the story that God's writing for our church. And moments like this are ripe for dedication as well as distraction. Moments like this can evoke feelings of faith as well as fear. Our scriptures for today are incredibly helpful for such a time as this. They cast a vision for who is at the center of the church and how the church can engage together. Let's start with the who. Our very first reading from Colossians powerfully describes who is at the center of the church. I'll give you a hint. It's not a pastor. Can anybody help me? Who is at the center of the church? Jesus is always a safe answer in church. But we heard from the very beginning of time, Jesus was in loving pursuit of the world. And nothing has been able to stop that mission. The mission started at creation. All things were created in Jesus, through Jesus, for Jesus. And sadly, we alienated ourselves from God. We acted like enemies of God by our evil behavior. But that didn't stop Jesus. He loved us so much, he was willing to enter into the mess we created. Funny side note, I was showing baby pictures to my kids the other day. And the hospitals had two very different approaches for both of my kids. When my son Aiden was born, the hospital washed him and cleaned him and handed him back to us all nice and clean and snuggly. When my daughter was born, they just wrapped her up and handed her to her all gooey and messy. And so we showed my daughter this picture, and she's like, "Ew, that's so gross. Like, I looked like that." Later, I asked her, "Do you know that I love you?" And she said, "Yeah, you held me when I was gross." And we can know that Jesus loves us for the same reason. When we were at our worst, he came near to wrap his arms around us. Jesus became a human so that he could be close with us. And man, people were awful to Jesus. They rejected him, mocked him, abused him, killed him. And that didn't even stop Jesus. He willingly gave his life to save ours. On the cross, Jesus took the punishment for all of our wrongs so that we could be forgiven. 3 days later, he defeated death so that we could live with him forever. And now Jesus offers to all who believe in him the free gifts of his love, forgiveness, eternal life, Holy Spirit. And Jesus gathers this community of believers, which he calls the church. And he invites us to be part of his mission to lovingly pursue the entire world. And lest we forget, Paul reminds us that Jesus is the head of this church. Jesus is the one leading the way. Jesus is the one that holds us together. Once Jesus was talking with his followers, and he said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." As long as Jesus is at the center, there is nothing that could stop this mission. One of the things I love about Good Shepherd is Good Shepherd has been clear from the very beginning who really is at the center of this church. Although that original building no longer exists, we kept the original cornerstone and the original cross with us to always remind us that it's Jesus who's our cornerstone. It's Jesus who's our head. It's Jesus who's our rock and foundation. Although pastors have played an important part in the story of Good Shepherd, it is, has, and always will be Jesus who's at the center of this church. That's the who. And over the years, Good Shepherd has experienced many examples of how Jesus can lead us and hold us together in exciting adventures. I thought it'd be fun to share a few with you today. The very first pastor, a man by the name of Luther Key, had to get 100 signatures to start Good Shepherd. Now, that might not seem like a lot, but back then, Good Shepherd was a sleepy farm town. That was a big task. And yet, propelled by the mission of Jesus, Luther went out boldly into the community. He walked from neighborhood to neighborhood, knocking on doors. Now I heard, and maybe Jim, you can confirm this, I heard he was even so bold as to go up to people in the grocery store and say, "Oh, I see you found some bologna. Have you found a church yet?" He did that there. And with God's blessing, Luther was able to get those 100 signatures, and the church started. And that church of small community of people worked and gave to build their very first building. But it wasn't long before Good Shepherd outgrew that building. Luther Key passed the baton to a man named Sig Berg. And this is just like a fun week, but Sig Berg is actually with us today. Do you want to? All this fact-checking makes me nervous, but Sig came, and within 2 weeks of his call, he felt like God was calling Good Shepherd to sell the building and move so this church could reach more people. That, forgive me, that's a crazy thing to suggest 2 weeks into your call. When I was in seminary, they told me, don't do anything crazy in the first year. Just get to know people, you know, get settled. But he's such a strong follower of God that he sensed this call. And to the credit of the church, they prayed. And they felt God confirming that. And that church boldly decided to sell the building and step out in faith. And God was faithful. God provided a place for Good Shepherd to worship in the interim while we were looking for another location. Then land became available at 1310. And people said, "This is a horrible location if you want to reach people." 75th Street was only a 2-lane highway. There was nothing south except for cornfields. They said, "That's a terrible location if you want to reach people." Again, the church prayed, and they felt that God was leading us to purchase land here. Interestingly, if you look at a map today, 1310 is centrally located. to reach all of Naperville and the surrounding communities like Aurora, Oswego, Plainfield, Downers Grove. It's a perfect location. 250 families helped build the first phase of this building, which was just the sanctuary and the administration wings. Those 250 families generously gave what today would probably be the equivalent of $20 million. Worship began to grow under Sig's leadership and grew all the way up to about 600 people before Sig felt like God was calling him on to the next chapter of his ministry. And after that, Good Shepherd went through a little bit of a rough patch. And I think that's okay to mention. History is not always perfect. We have ups and we have downs. And after that, we had a pastor who was with the church for only about 11 months because there was a strained relationship between the pastor and the church. And yet, even through that time, Jesus was leading the church and holding it together. Two great things started during that time that we still have today. Contemporary worship started. Stephen's ministry started. Greg Wenhold was the next pastor to come on board. And not long after that, he entered into a co-senior role with Gary Olson. And the church began to heal and to grow again. Jesus led us to some really neat, exciting ministry opportunities. Our preschool started with a desire to reach young families who are coming into the Naperville area. And that it did. And that preschool continues to be one of our best outreach ministries. A member of our church by the name of Cindy Engel felt God leading Good Shepherd to be engaged in mission work around the world. At the time, Good Shepherd wasn't doing any of that. And she felt it so strong that she looked up different opportunities and found that there was an opportunity to serve in Madagascar. There was two options. She could go for a week or she could go for 3 months. She prayed and she felt like God was saying 3 months. Her employer didn't approve. So she quit her job so she could go on that mission trip. And Cindy came back so on fire for what God is doing in this world. And with Pastor Gary, she helped lead our first mission trip to Honduras. And now we have dozens of mission trips locally, nationally, and around the world. Our children and student ministry directors attended a conference and found out that there was over 10,000 families in our area who have children with special needs. Many of those families were disconnected and isolated from the church because it's a challenge. And the church responded by starting our Fusion ministry for families with special needs that now creates a safe place for families with special needs to come and worship and grow in faith together. And that our church did. We grew in numbers and also, again, needed to expand our facilities to reach more people. One of the biggest expansion ideas came in 2008. And the idea was to expand the sanctuary, add on the worship center for our contemporary services, add some education rooms for adult ministry, children ministry, and add a cafe to foster connection with the church and connection with our community. Does anybody remember what 2008 was? Yeah, a huge recession in our country. Terrible time for a building plan like that. But again, the church prayed, and they said, God, what do you want us to do? And they felt so strongly that God wanted us to move forward so that we could reach and transform more lives. And so in the middle of a recession, Good Shepherd engaged on this project. And with the help of God and the generosity of this church, we were able to move forward with the expansions. Along the way, Glenn Wagner and I joined the pastoral team, along with many other talented staff and lay leaders. And we continue to see God grow our facilities and grow our ministries, like the welcome ministry, small group ministry, growth groups, marriage, mental health, young adults, senior adults, retreats, and so much more. And we're seeing Jesus reach and transform lives, marriages, families. This upcoming week, I'm going on a mission trip to teach marriage classes with a couple who themselves had their marriage saved by Jesus. Now we're at another critical juncture in the history of Good Shepherd. Pastor Greg retired and a call team was discerned to lift up a new candidate for senior pastor. And the candidate that they're lifting up is Mark Carlson. There's a lot of emotions that come with a change like this. But there is one thing that will never change. The center of this church has, is, and always will be Jesus Christ. It's his love, it's his truth, it's his power, it's his salvation, it's his mission that forms the core of who we are and what we do. And as long as we keep Jesus at the center, there is nothing that can stop this mission. Our readings also cast a vision for how. We heard the who, but how do we engage as a church? For this, we turn to the tale of two sisters in Luke's gospel, Mary and Martha. I've often heard these two sisters pitted against one another, but I don't think that's right. I think these two sisters are two halves of an integrated whole, and that together they show us how we can best engage as a church. Start with Martha. Martha wasn't doing anything bad, at least not at first. She was doing something good. She was serving others. She was using her gifts. In the original language, the Greek word for serve there is diakonia. It's a word that the early church adopted and used to refer to serving as a minister in the church, diakonia. She was doing a good thing. The problem wasn't with what Mary was doing or Martha was doing. The problem was that she allowed what she was doing to distract her from spending time with Jesus. And that's where everything fell apart. Ministry leaders can fall into that trap too. We can get so busy doing work for Jesus that we neglect to spend time with Jesus. And I've heard from many people that it's getting so busy with everyday activities that it's becoming harder to spend time in prayer, Bible study, worship. That's problematic. Because apart from Jesus, we fall apart. You can bank on that. Apart from Jesus, we fall apart. That's what happened to Mary, or Martha. In her effort to be the hostess with the mostess, Martha snapped. She ended up breaking every rule of hospitality in that culture. She neglected her guest. She tried to embarrass her sister in front of her guest. She asked her guest to intervene in a family fight. She even went as far as to accuse her guest, Jesus, of not caring about her. Hashtag awkward moment. Right? Fortunately, Jesus doesn't get angry with Martha. And he doesn't walk out of her awkward party. And I'm so grateful that we have a God who hangs with us in spite of our immature outbursts, our irrational thoughts, our inappropriate words and actions. Instead, Jesus diagnoses the issue. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." Isn't that what happens when we get distracted from Jesus? We get worried and upset about many things. We forget that Jesus holds the whole world in his hands. And so we feel like we have to carry the weight of the whole universe on our shoulders. We forget that we serve the all-powerful one who's supreme over all things. And so we start to worry about what are we going to do and how are we going to make it through. We forget about Jesus' relentless love and interpret every little trial and tribulation as proof that God must not care and must not be with us. We forget about the good work that God wants to do in our lives, and we end up looking at others, critiquing, comparing. It's ironic. Martha was worried about the meal when sitting in the room next to her was the one who fed 5,000 with two fish and a few loaves of bread. He probably could have handled the meal if she asked. But isn't that what happens when we get distracted? We get worried and upset by so many things. And so Jesus invites Martha and he invites us to do what Mary did. Mary sat at Jesus' feet like a disciple would. She rested in his presence. She soaked in his love and truth. She allowed his Holy Spirit to empower her and guide her. And there, Mary found everything that she needed. Now, this is not an excuse to be lazy and do nothing. James 1:22 says we should be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. But that's why I think these two sisters go together. They're two halves of an integrated whole that show us how we're to engage as a church. The church needs us to do both, to hear and to do, to serve and to sit. See, if we try to serve without sitting, we're like a tree trying to bear fruit that's not planted in the ground. If we hear but don't do, we're like a clogged drain pipe, just accumulating stagnant water with no outlet. We're at our best when we do both. We hear and do, serve and sit. We practice this on mission trips. I know our students did this past week at work camp, and I know I'm going to do this next week on the mission trip. But we practice this rhythm. In the morning, we have devotions. We reflect on God's word. We pray for God's guidance. Then we go out and serve all day, and then we come back, and we reflect again, and we just repeat this cycle of action and reflection. It's so beautiful and refreshing. And so I challenge all of us as we move into this new chapter of Good Shepherd's journey to build in this kind of rhythm into our everyday life. Act, reflect, hear, do, serve, sit. We need you to help keep this church strong and centered in Jesus Christ. And so I challenge you to sit. If you don't have this practice, begin every day, at least 15 minutes, just 15 minutes, reading God's word, reflecting on what it means, soaking in God's presence, his love, letting the Spirit empower and guide you. Man, my days are so much better when I start like that. Build that into your life. And if you've never done that and you don't know how, just jot me a note on your response card and I'll send you some devotions and some suggestions so we can all be sitting together. But I also challenge you to serve. The church is the people. Now more than ever, we need everybody to serve, to share their gifts, to be a part of moving God's work forward in this next part of our journey for Good Shepherd. In our prayer and action guide, there's so many opportunities to serve. I was skimming through this week. There's an opportunity to collect school supplies for families in need as they get closer to the school year. There's an opportunity to use musical gifts as part of our Shine ministry that leads worship for the DuPage Convalescent Center. But I think the biggest opportunity this week is our congregational meeting and vote. This is both a serve and a sit. You're serving the church by being part of this milestone moment. And you're sitting together with all of us as we pray and ask for God to lead and guide this next part of our journey. So I hope you can be there this Wednesday. And I wanted to share with you a few words from Pastor Mark as he explains why he's excited to be with Good Shepherd and why he invites you to come on the 24th.
Hello there. My name is Mark and I live in Sweden. I am hoping to emigrate to America though. It is actually true that I'm Swedish, but I'm also American. I have a Swedish father and an American mother, so I grew up with two languages and two cultures, and I've lived about half my life in Sweden and half in the States. I'm married to my beautiful wife, Christy, and we have two boys, Axel, who is 15, and David, who is 11. I'm a pastor, and my passion is to know Jesus, walk in the power of His Holy Spirit, and participate in God's redemptive transformation of the world. After 15 wonderful years in Sweden, we started longing more and more for our other home. And as we prayed and sought counsel and explored various areas of the U.S., we were drawn back to the Chicagoland area. This is where I began campus ministry. This is where Christy and I went to seminary. This is also where we met and were married. And so it's always kind of felt like home. And as we explored the Chicago area, we started zeroing in on Naperville because of its family orientation, its great schools, and also proximity to extended family. So I started exploring different potential ministry opportunities in the area. And that's when I came across Good Shepherd. And as I looked at the website and saw the presentation video, I was immediately drawn to the church. I love the combination of the Lutheran background with a Bible church feel. And so I contacted the Metropolitan Chicago Synod, and it turns out that the bishop's assistant was excited to get me connected to Good Shepherd. She thought that might be a good fit. And so I took that as an external confirmation of an inner desire that I had. And so we got connected to the search team and started having interviews and conversations. And I really appreciated the prayerful approach and the professional approach of the search team. And along the way, I just felt like God kept confirming that this is the path we should follow. Things I love about Good Shepherd is how well-rounded it is, serving the community, caring for one another, and strengthening the mind. I love it how there is something for all ages, really cradle to grave ministry. And the people I've met have been wonderful. So it would be a joy and privilege to join in with what God is doing in and through Good Shepherd as your next senior pastor. I really look forward to meeting you on July 24th at the special congregational meeting. See you there.
I told you I wanted to do something different with the response card. And in light of the major milestone that we're in with our church, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider and write two things on the response card, a commitment and a prayer. First, I ask you to pray and write down, how do you commit to serve and sit in this next season of ministry with Good Shepherd? And then second, I invite you to write down your prayer for Good Shepherd for this new chapter of ministry. This way we can be praying for you, and we can also gather your prayers together before God as we look to this new part of our faith journey. So I'm going to give you some time to think and pray and write. If you put your name and email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. You can put your response in the offering basket or hand it to me on your way out. You can even fill it out with your phone. But take some time now to think and to write. What's your commitment? What's your prayer? Would you pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for the story that you've been weaving through Good Shepherd Church. God, I pray if there's anybody here today who's never before considered themselves part of the story, never before realized that you actually came to earth for them, to love them and save them, God, I pray that they would make today their day to open their heart and receive your gifts. And if I'm speaking to you, I just invite you to simply repeat this prayer after me silently in your heart. God, I know that I've done wrong. I know that I deserve your punishment. Thank you for loving me. I believe Jesus paid for my sins. I believe Jesus rose from the dead so that I can live forever with you. You gave your life for me. Now I give my life to you. Forgive me, save me, and lead me this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you just started a party in heaven and a brand new life on earth. Please let someone know so that we can support you. And God, together we continue this prayer. We pray for Good Shepherd. We ask that you would bless this new chapter, that you'd continue to be the center of this church, and that we as your people would continue to serve and sit for your glory, so that Good Shepherd would always be a church that would reach and transform spiritually distracted people, so we all love and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.